T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And then we got the call of the year from Jerry from Conyers.
What's the cure, Will? What's the cure? How do you fix hiccups?
You got to put your head between your knees with a big gulp of water and just swallow 2 or 3 times. Are you telling me you have Jerry? Are you telling me you have Jerry ready, or you just wanted to play that? You just wanted to play that. Okay. I thought you were going to bring up Jerry from Conyers again. It's okay. That was literally the call of the year. That was the call of the year last night. Right.
If you haven't heard it, you need to go look up Will's Twitter and listen to...
It's crazy.
How you fix hiccups. It's really informational.
At Willie P. Style on the Twitter at 92.9 The Game.
It's the stuff you wouldn't think you'd find on a sports radio station.
We just try to keep the people entertained. We try to get you from the Beltline through the mess that is 75 and 85, through Cobb County, Smyrna, the whole bit. That's what we do. That's what we do. Thank you, Caleb. It's good stuff. All righty. Hope you're enjoying yourself. Final hour of the day. One more to play. 404-741-0929 is the phone number. That is, of course, Caleb Johnson. He'll take you through the evening as well. We're taking you up until my man Tommy Mott take over at 9. Take you through the rest of the evening as we go here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. So, what have we learned, Charlie Brown? Well, we learned the Atlanta Braves bullpen still kind of bad. Still kind of bad. Oh, Will was very much on this right at the beginning. I was very much on this. Very much on this. I thought, hey, and I was with everybody. I was like, hey, you know, hey. They get 3 guys in a bullpen, it's going to look all that different. Except I said going into the trade deadline that there really wasn't anybody out there that really needed. But alas and alack. Of course, the Falcons had practice today out at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Coming up a little bit later on this hour, Dukes and Bell, who are on live from Falcons open practice in the Benz. Got a chance to talk to our pal Dave Archer from the Falcon broadcast. He's going to join us coming up here about 15, 20 minutes from now. We'll have that interview for you right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I had some thoughts about this situation going on between Melvin Gordon and the Los Angeles Chargers and Ezekiel Elliott and the Dallas Cowboys. Do they really think that they're going to get what they want? Because here's my only issue when it comes to these two particular gentlemen. No one's going to sit here and say that they're not worth the money. But they're playing a position that has been devalued by everybody in the National Football League. And you're in a sport where the cap is so meticulously manicured and that you don't just openly give a bloated contract to a guy who's not a quarterback unless he's a generational type player at a position where you don't get those kind of players. Well, that's the problem with this Ezekiel Elliott and Melvin Gordon situation, is that that is a position where if you get a generational type player, how long is he really there? Of course, the situations with the two guys are a little bit different because Melvin Gordon, basically, as a result of the fact that he's basically in his fourth year, they've been willing to buy out his fifth-year option. Basically, he's been offered something in the range of $10 million a year from the Dodgers, willing to buy out his fifth-year option and a pair of tag years at reduced cost, giving him money now, reducing long-term risk to end any drama for the next few years. But it's not enough, and he's demanding a trade. They control his rights basically for the next 3 years. He's not cheap. And if his own team is not going to pay him, what makes you think that there's somebody out there who's going to want to take on that money? Of course, there's thought about him sitting out, but it's not like the Le'Veon Bell situation, because there's something similar that happened to Joey Galloway, where he skipped 4 preseason games, 8 regular season games, trying to get more money, and they ended up basically meaning that he didn't get credit for this full season. So, basically, if Gordon comes back in week 9 with 6 games equaling an accrued season, he wouldn't earn 9/17 of his salary, meaning he could lose as much as 13 weeks of pay, end up making up just about $1.318 million, and then get hit with a franchise tag next year. He said he's willing to risk regular season games, but the problem is it was the tagged year that Melvin Gordon held out for, or that Le'Veon Bell held out for. And I just I understand why Zeke probably is feeling a little bit differently, because he believes that he has, I would say, a better than average spot in that offense, and one of the reasons why that offense has as much success. He probably has more leverage than Melvin Gordon has, because I think Phillip Rivers is better than Dak Prescott. I don't think the Chargers necessarily need Melvin Gordon to win. It's nice. Nice to have. I think he's a bit of a luxury. The Cowboys need Ezekiel Elliott, but here's the problem. If Zeke's not getting the money, Melvin Gordon's not getting the money. And they all want to get paid like Todd Gurley and Bell. But they're not going to get that money. It's just not going to happen. Elliott needs one more year to be eligible for unrestricted free agency. He's helped by the fact that they have the fifth-year option already signed off for him, because they basically make you sign that off and guarantee that as a result of you finishing your third year. And the problem is his situation's a little bit differently, because he at least will have a guaranteed season in 2020. The problem is this new CBA has reduced the power of the rookies to get their money, and also extended the amount of time a team can hold on to a young player while also making holdouts substantially more difficult. And it feels very similar to the way baseball controls their guys, because the way baseball controls their guys is you basically have the 3 years of team control, then you have the arbitration years, and then by the time that a guy is around 28, 29, 30, that's when they get their first big deal. And the way that that would work in that sport was that you basically got a deal that was partially given based on what you'd done and partially given to what you were going to do. But now in baseball, the people have become so cheap in that they look at everything involving the predictive analytics, and that's how they factor in a lot of those deals now. Which is why the only two deals in baseball you saw given out that were that had any consequence were the Manny Machado deal and the Bryce Harper deal, given out by two teams desperate to make a splash. And look what happened. Nationals right now seven out of a playoff spot behind the Atlanta Braves, and San Diego floundering in the middle part of the National League West, actually now in the basement of the National League West, tie with Colorado at 51-59. Washington 58-52. And neither of those guys made the All-Star game. You see what I'm saying? Ezekiel Elliott and Melvin Gordon are the Bryce Harper and Manny Machado of the National Football League. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Bryce Harper would have made Washington wouldn't have made Washington a better team. But let's be real. Does the Nationals' record look any more different than 58-52 right now with Bryce Harper on that team? Did they miss him? I don't really think so. Manny Machado was on the Orioles, who were basically trying to lose at 38-73. Manny Machado worth 20 wins to the Baltimore Orioles? Heck no. And what would 20 wins give the Baltimore Orioles? We'll put them right behind Boston, which is still 14.5 out of first place in the American League East. Right now they're 26 out. Not saying that these two situations are congruous, but you can see why a very similar situation that played out during the baseball season is now looking very much the same for Melvin Gordon and Ezekiel Elliott. The Cowboys know they could probably get a running back. The Chargers know they probably can get a running back. And it's not to devalue what those guys are to those particular teams. Because the Cowboys are a better team with Ezekiel Elliott. No one's arguing that. The Chargers are a better team with Melvin Gordon. But if you feel like you can get your requisite from Austin Eckler, Justin Jackson, DeTrez Newsome, Tremaine Pope, Derek Gore, is Melvin Gordon worth 1 to 2 to 3 wins? I don't know if he is. And from the Cowboys' perspective, is Ezekiel Elliott worth 1 to 2 to 3 wins over Darius Jackson, Tony Pollard, Mike Weber, Alfred Morris, who's over the hill anyway, and Jordan Chun? Not that Zeke is not valuable. Not that Melvin Gordon is not valuable. But is it worth handcuffing your franchise and the ability to pay other guys that you need to pay, like Dak Prescott, over the course of the next couple of years? Heck, Dez Bryant, they played chicken with him for a better part of 2 or 3 years. And Dez isn't even in the league anymore. Jerry Jones has proven over the course of his time that he does not play hardball when it comes to these type of guys. It is his house. That is the house that Jerry built. It's not Ezekiel world. It's Jerry world. I'm not saying that these guys have to shut up and pay for peanuts, or play for peanuts, I should say. But all you've done is basically contribute to your own lack of value. And that's, I think, the biggest problem that rests between those two guys. Falcons back on the air Thursday at Miami. They take on the Dolphins from Hard Rock Stadium in Miami Gardens. Pre-game 5:30 with our pals Paul Crane and Harry Douglas. And Wes and Arch have the call 7:30 Thursday. Back into the Falcon talk as Dukes and Bell had a chance to catch up with Arch at today's open practice at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You'll hear that interview next on part of a radio replay. We come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is a special edition of Dukes and Bell on a Sunday. We're live at Mercedes-Benz. It's Military Appreciation Day. Folks coming into the Benz. We are in the Overlook here as you walk into the pretty much the main entrance, which is Gate 2.
I haven't seen Jack Nicholson. This is the Overlook Hotel?
This is the Overlook. I know it's been called other things, but...
Times Square.
Yeah, that's what we're calling it now.
The big space behind the bird, I usually call it.
Oh, well, that's cool.
This is as long there. As some kid didn't come riding around on a tricycle right now saying something, we'll be fine.
Play with us, Danny.
We've got the...
That's a shiny reference for the millennials who are not catching the Overlook Hotel reference right there.
The big halo, not the halo board, but the big monitor here.
Yeah, that's the mega column.
Yeah. The mega column that changes. But that's where we're located. If you hear the voice, it may sound familiar, and you listen to Falcon football games right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. His name is Dave Archer. He is the analyst and former Falcon quarterback who, Dave, you know, coming off this first preseason game, and let's start there as we talk about today's practice and then looking ahead to the Dolphins, and we'll get into all of that. But you learn something, right, in all of these games about different players, and you're trying to focus in on – certain things. And I said, I could care less about the wins and the losses. There are certain things we're focused in on. What were you focused in on?
Well, Coach Quinn has a, what he does after practice, calls it Plan D, which is plan developmental. Okay. So he spends about 30 minutes working with the young players, practice squad guys during the regular season. They call it Plan D. So we're developing these players. He called this game, because it was an extra preseason game, a fifth preseason game, he called this the Plan D game. And so that's why you didn't see any of the Falcon regulars in the game. In fact, you probably didn't even see the top 30 players that are going to be on this roster. It was the other guys. The other 50 players were in the game. And so from a mindset or what you're looking for, then you begin to look at guys, okay, what specific guys. Don't get so caught up in the position groups and do we move the ball.
Right.
I mean, both teams are combined 30, we're 6 of 31 on third down, the two teams combined. Ugh. That's horrible. That didn't win any football game. So, you got to find some guys that are going to contribute to this team. The two rookie corners, both Miller and Sheffield, play good. In fact, Sheffield made a play from the slot in his nickel, and he's the backup nickel to Casey now. If something were to happen in a game, he's in for right. Casey, okay? So he comes up, makes a hit, ball out right at the end of the first half. Remember, he jars the ball loose. Falcons get it, not enough time left, couldn't get any points out of it. But he jarred a turn. Those are the kind of plays you're looking for. They put Miller and Sheffield one-on-one man coverage on the outside the bulk of the game. Those guys held up. Now, it wasn't Flacco wasn't throwing at them, and it wasn't whoever.
Right.
But they held up in that situation. So that's what you're looking for. You know, John Kaminsky comes up big. You know, you're looking for him. He played outside, inside, rushing the passer, playing special teams. He got a fumble recovery on a special team.
Right.
He got a sack. Those are the kinds of things you were looking for. Brian Hill stepped up in the run game, caught a ball in the backfield for a touchdown. Kurt Benkert looked pretty good. You know, so Lindstrom did a nice job when he had a chance. Frank Gono, one of those guys that could be that swing tackle guy, the big dude on the edge, has great feet. He got out in front on the Brian Hill run down to about the one-yard line. That was Gono out in front blocking. Those are the kind of things you're looking for.
Okay, it's good to ask because we were just talking about with what's going on with Caleb McGarry now, we have to wait to see him. Sombrello's the man kind of wins the job by default. We were looking for, did somebody really distinguish himself? So Gono could be one of those guys?
Yeah, I thought Gono did a nice job. So now what you got to do is, and having played in these games, you've got to take that next step, right? I remember my first preseason game was in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And so they said, okay, kid, get loose. So I went over there and I threw it. My heart's, I'm going to get in the game, right? So I get in the second quarter. Come in and replace Steve Bartkowski. The legend steps off. Here comes this kid from where?
Soda Springs, Idaho.
He comes running in. So I'm in there with Billy White Shoes Johnson. I threw like a 6-yard pass to Billy. He took it 40 down the sidelines. I'm one for one. I got 40 yards.
Nice. Good stat sheet.
So I threw one more completion on another slant or something like that. We kicked a field goal. Okay, that's good, kid. You're out. I took my team down. We got points on the board.
Right.
But then he had to build on that. Okay, so the next week out, if I got a chance to play, then I got to do something a little bit more. And you're going to play maybe a little bit more. And so you earn that right to play. And those guys that we talked about are going to play a little bit more. They're going to play a little bit more. And so when you get that opportunity, can you build on what you're showing? And now all of a sudden you become a viable part of the team.
It's Dave Archer, guys, joining us here on Dukes and Bell. We are live in Mercedes-Benz. It's Military Appreciation Day as Falcon fans are making their way inside the stadium. Practice starts at noon. From a quarterback standpoint, I like what I saw from Ben Kirk. Now, again, I know some people are like, it's a controversy.
No, there's no controversy.
But I think when I see a guy take command, have control, and play poise like he did, I know you said it. It's a developmental thing, and there weren't everybody that normally would be on the field. But can he build on that is my question.
Yeah, Carl, I don't think anybody worked any harder than Kurt Benkert did last season in that plan D part after practice. Greg Knapp was with him every day. Throwing routes, working on footwork, understanding looks, all those kind of things, studying film post-practice. And then it carried over into the offseason. He stayed here. He's trimmed down. You guys have been around out there. He's much trimmer. You saw him get out of the pocket in the game and run for about 20 yards in a first down. I don't know that he had that in him last year. So you could see development, but it's funny because when I was locking out of the locker room, you know, Kurt's got a toe. It's just a sprained toe, so he'll be fine. But I was waiting to talk to him, and all of a sudden Thomas Dimitroff comes walking by. Thomas came by and he goes, hey, the kid can spin it now.
Yeah,
right. And you saw it.
And when the GM stops and says something to you about it, you know their eyes are on him. And I'm not saying he's Matt Ryan's replacement at some point, but he wasn't highly drafted. He's a free agent. It's not like Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, right, where you drafted a kid to be the guy. But who's to say this kid couldn't develop into that? Because this might be Shabby's last year.
Yeah,
we damn near got him killed this last week. I talked to him after the game. I don't know if you guys played the interview, but I asked him at the end. I go, "How you feeling, man?" And he goes, "Dude, you have to go a long way to remember the last time I was in the fourth quarter of the first preseason game."
Right. And by the way, Shabby had like four stringers in front of him.
God.
It was ugly.
They damn near killed him.
It's a Dave Archer with this guys. Hear him and Wes. Drew Ham on the call, guys, of course. And more action starting with the Dolphin game on Thursday. All right, Arches, we're live here at Mercedes-Benz. Let's talk about Free. Vic Free, we've only seen small sample size in practice, but Devontae looks great. Allison, Ito, who's winning? Because Brian Hill showed he can actually catch the ball on Thursday night.
Yeah, I think Brian Hill, and we talk about making you take that next step. Remember, Brian got to play at the end of the year last year.
Right.
Got a chance. He was kind of forced into action because Teb was a little banged up. And Hill went for over 100 yards on less than 10 carries against Carolina. Anybody that's followed the team very closely and you watch Carolina, that's a rough and tough front seven defensively. Right. You bang off 100 yards against that group, that tells you you've got some toughness about you. So, and then Brian's another one of those guys that he looks different.
Does.
Physically, he's bigger here. He's slimmed down. And so now he's catching the football in the backfield. So he's got to take the next step. But I would say, you know, it's Devontae and Ito.
Right.
And then right now it's Brian Hill. And so the young kid, Allison, he missed a couple blocks last night. But now he does show some shiftiness. At 225 pounds, he stepped up and bounced to the outside around the tight end. Play got called back. I think somebody was moving or something. Mm-hmm. But he showed some niftiness is what I saw him at Pitt. I did about 80 of his games at Pitt. He's a good player.
Yeah. We talked to him last week, and, you know, the tragedy of his brother being killed. Yep. I mean, he's building on some things, but I think he could be a good player for us. Dave Archer joining us here on Dukes and Bell, guys live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. As far as guys like, you know, Aluakin, his development, I'll be honest, I'm shocked at how far he's come in such a short period of time. Remember, guys, the injuries happened last year during the season, and Foye Aluakin is a guy that, you know, he's an Ivy Leaguer, and guys go, he'll never play. This guy's a legitimate starter now, and I don't think he's going to be dethroned anytime soon.
No, and I think it's if you start looking at evaluation of talent and going to get people in later rounds, this is a Thomas Dimitroff coup right here now.
Right.
When you start talking about, you know, when you start talking about drafts and you put the full draft together, Foye Aluakun, Demonte Casey, these guys that are late, Grady Jarrett. I mean, these are big-time players that Thomas is finding late in drafts. And Aluakun fits into that category. This is a guy that was trial by fire. This was not a plan D guy that was working after practice.
Right.
This guy says, no, we need you now.
Oh, yeah.
You go play. Debo's down. We need you to play. He played inside. He played outside. He ended up with about 90 tackles last year. Mm. This guy's a big-time player, and he's really going to add to the team.
Dave Archer's with us, guys. I'm breaking it down. It's a military appreciation day. Great crowd, by the way. It's people rolling in. We're going to have a packed house, it looks like, when practice kicks off here in less than a half hour. Arch, where's the pass rush coming from, man? Because we got Tack, obviously, we got Vic, and we got Dan running the show. And by the way, the players, I don't know, maybe you picked up on it, real energy at practice because the players are kind of feeding off Dan, being hands-on with him. But where is that pass rush coming from?
I got a chance to talk with Adrian Claiborne, who we're lucky to have back. Spent a little time in New England, got him a ring, and now he's come back.
Right.
And I asked Adrian, I go, what's going on with Vic and Tack? I asked him specifically. He says, Vic's working. He says, you're going to like what you see once we kind of tee him off and let him go.
Right.
He says, but Tack, he said he is off. He says he is so stunned at Tack's development since he was been gone. Tack comes in. He watched him from afar, and now what he's done this year. He says he's a different dude this year. So, I mean, I'm going to trust Adrian Claiborne.
Yeah, sure. Right?
But when you get into pass rush situations now, because Adrian has played inside, and you remember we used to do the Iowa boys with he and Babineau on the inside, so now Claiborne's going to be able to slide inside. And so now you got a premier pass rusher on the inside, whether it's Kaminsky or Grady on the inside as well, and then you got those two guys coming off the edge. You hope, it looks like on paper, and you got to go play.
With Quinn taking over the defense, do you think, and we're a long ways from this to the regular season, more stunts? Are we going to be running more stuff up front?
And our 3-4 hybrid, too, by the way.
Yeah, I think that it's one of these scenarios where I think Dan's going to squeeze the trigger to be as successful as he can be. I think playing this zone thing, they'll do some of that. But I think they're going to be more aggressive on the edge. Obviously, Isaiah Lawler's got a hold up on the outside. Mm-hmm. And maybe one of those young guys says, wait a minute, I'll take that spot. So, but I think True's going to be good. True looks as his focused as I've seen him since his rookie year. He had a really good rookie year and had a really, you know, he just looks like that guy. He looks like he's got a little bit.
We being too hard on True Font?
No, True struggled a little bit. I mean, he's supposed to be an elite corner, so he's got to come up more plays. I think True's been in position, but now you got to make the play,
right.
And that's the way Grady was. Remember Grady when Grady was first, he's in the backfield and boom, there goes the ball carry. Then he'd be right around the quarterback and he'd step around and make a throw. Then all of a sudden he started to make the play. And that's why he got paid. Well, True came in with the expectation as a corner, you've got to make plays, and he did early, and then all of a sudden it fell off. So he needs to pick that back up.
Dave Archer, guys, here with us. Falcons-Dolphins on Thursday. What do we expect to see there? Again, this is not a plan D game, right? We'll see a little bit more of some of the not, I don't want to say regulars. Obviously, Matt's not going to play a whole lot. But some more of the potential guys that we expect to see when the season rolls around.
You'll kick the tires on the main guys. They'll come in and maybe be in a series or something like that. This is usually what you do in that first preseason game. The thing that will be interesting is if Dan can hold his water and Dirk can hold his water, because you think, okay, there's the first preseason game. That one's out of the way. You don't. It's hard to realize I still have four more. So I got to get back into my plan,
right?
Because you could say, well, I want to get my guys in there. I want to get my regulars in there. So he's got to pump the brakes a little bit and make sure they're ready to go.
Now, we talked about Kaminsky, the one guy who really kind of distinguished himself on Thursday. It's hard not to get excited about him. When will we see him at some point in the summer with some of the starters?
I don't think it'll be very long.
Awesome.
I think Dan is big at developing guys and putting guys in together. So I don't think it'll be very long you'll see John in there. He's going to continue to play on the special teams and all those type of things because he's a freak type athlete. He's 275, 280 pounds, and he could run down on kicks. And
how long life?
That's what Mike called him.
Wow, Howie Long Life.
That's what Mike called him.
That dude's got a gold jacket. Yeah. That's a lot of.
I know, I got to temper it. I know, yeah. I'm the worst at getting so excited. But one guy looks great out there.
Yeah, you're famous for that, Mike.
Stop yelling at me.
I said he said that because he's a white guy, but that's me.
Hey, you got to compare a white guy with a white. Well, generally, Carl, we kind of do that.
We do that. All right,
yeah, you're not going to call him Deacon Jones.
I mean, what am I going to say? Kaminsky looks like Reggie White.
Equal talent. Equal talent. Hey, Arch, great job, man. We will talk to you soon.
It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. It is a long and well-respected rule, and about as long as I've been on the air, that we will at least have to talk college football at least one segment while I'm on the air with y'all, because you know I love the collegiate game. I want to talk a little Georgia here. Georgia back on the practice field. It's practice Friday. They practice Saturday. Had their fan day yesterday. Nice to be out in Athens to kind of take in the sights there. Got a chance to be inside the indoor facility and see all the fans getting ready for that and see what exactly was out there. And you know, it's a time of year, and I've heard coaches talk about this at the college level very, very intently. The fact that because of the way that the college schedule is a little bit different, they don't get a preseason. You know, it's funny. The other day I was lamenting about how not real the preseason was and how little they get out of the preseason when it comes to the head coaches. Well, the fact that game one is game one, like, they strap it on for real. Coming up in about 4 weeks from yesterday against Vanderbilt in Nashville on the road. Not to say that that's a game you shouldn't win. Not a game you shouldn't be favored in, but they strap it on for real against Vandy. Georgia, who I've said the entire offseason, a team loaded for bear, a team that while Kirby Smart, and to his credit be commended, over the last two years really, has revolutionized Georgia recruiting. You could see the financial commitment that has been poured into that team and poured into that organization as a result of just, again, the changing of the guard in the SEC, especially in the East. Georgia, the unquestioned leader now in the East, and could possibly be making a bid to at least maybe dethrone Alabama as far as the SEC is concerned. But a lot of what will come into this season is how Jake Fromm deals with the departure of J.J. Holloman from the team, whether he'll have enough to be able to throw to, and this stable of running backs. It's funny, we were talking about running backs. This is like the running back hour. We were talking about running backs in the National Football League. The reason why the holdouts of Ezekiel Elliott and Melvin Gordon are so much folly is because you have a situation in the college game like Georgia has, like Clemson has, like a lot of these other teams that can just find running backs. Not to say that DeAndre Swift isn't special, but what if you know a Georgia fan or you are a Georgia fan, what is the one thing that every Georgia fan has basically said, if it's not about Jake Fromm, who's the number one player they want to see on the field come 2019? it's Zamir White, because it's just all about the unknown. For Clemson a couple of years ago, they had a guy by the name of Travis Etienne that was third on the depth chart to begin the year behind C.J. Fuller and Adam Choice. By the end of the year, he was getting the biggest amount of carries and the most leveraged carries. And by his sophomore season, he was the starter. And Fuller transferred out. Choice graduated. Tavian Feaster, who was also in that mix as well, transferred out this offseason. You see it happen at other programs, Oklahoma especially. So that is why people think that they can always find a running back, because they can. Of course, Kirby Smart's team comes into the 2019 season with a renewed sense of confidence despite last year's shortcomings. And the one thing that he was very happy about after the first couple of days of practice is how well his team was conditioned.
Talking season's over. It's time to do more. And we've had a really good conditioning off-season session. Some really good bars kind of hit from a max standpoint in summer conditioning. And want to give a lot of credit to Scott Sinclair and his staff. You know, they do tireless work during the summer. And we don't get to see a lot of it because our players are on a little different schedule. But our guys have been excited to get started for camp. And Scott's staff did a great job working with them. It's very time intensive.
Now, last year for Fromm, schedule didn't break the right way for them because they had to go to LSU. They had, of course, the Alabama loss in the college football playoff. And then, of course, the Sugar Bowl debacle against Texas. At this point, I almost wonder what more could Jake Fromm have done. 67% of his passes completed, 30 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. What more could you expect out of that guy? Wasn't his fault. Still, Kirby Smart looks at Jake Fromm and believes that there's still more he can get out of him as he goes into his third year as a starter.
Jake's a good football player, and he's smart, and he does a lot of good things from a leadership standpoint. He has tremendous energy in meetings and practice. His enthusiasm rubs off on people. His confidence does. It's comforting to know you've got a guy who's had that much experience. And that's a luxury because you don't always get that in this game.
And the thing about Fromm is that for a guy who's basically been a part of the last two seasons for Georgia where the team has lost just 5 games, and of course, 2 of them have come against a team that is generational in Alabama. So if you take that out of the equation, you wonder, what more does he have left to prove? He says plenty.
I was talking to one of our coaches this morning. There's some details in the play action run game, in the run game, for me in the pass game. What can I do around the pocket? How can I be quicker twitch and be able to make throws, whether it's off balance on the run or in the pocket? How can I move and how can I get better movement?
That is, of course, very, very mature for his age, Jake Fromm. Here's another thing about the whole situation involving Zamir White. Like, are we forgetting that DeAndre Swift exists? Are we forgetting that Herrien exists? Are we forgetting that James Cook exists? I mean, I know that Swift and Holyfield got the balance of touches last year, but it's not, and again, it's not like Zamir White is walking in where he can just basically take the place of Elijah Holyfield. Both Cook and Herrien are like, yeah, over our dead bodies. Of course, Zamir White had missed the opening season of eligibility of his collegiate career because of a torn ACL. According to the head coach, he's full go.
Zamir's cleared. So, again, we'll do everything like normal. He'll be thudded just like every other back will be thudded, and we'll progress from there. We don't tackle mostly live until the first scrimmage.
And I wonder how Swift feels about just that particular dynamic of the fact that here's a guy who rushed for 10,049 yards, 10 touchdowns, 13 total touchdowns if you count his passing receptions. I wonder how he feels going into this season. Well, he says he's continually motivated because of the fact that this running back room is looked at in large part and parcel as the best in the country.
I'm in a role now where they kind of look to me as that older guy, that mold, role model type of guy. Just, trying to do everything good on and off the field so they can see how it's supposed to be done.
I really don't know if you could find another stable of running backs who you'd want in college football. I think any one of those four could start at 100 of the 130 college football programs that are out there, maybe 120. Again, I think Clemson probably has an even amount when it comes to the top-end ability of ETN and Lynn J. Dixon. I'd have to look at do a cursory look at the Big Ten more, because I think if you're at the Big Ten, maybe Wisconsin, and I don't know if there's a school out of the Big 12 that could possibly stand a reason to give you a running back. Again, like I said, Oklahoma probably earlier. Oklahoma, obviously, from the standpoint of Sermon, Kennedy Brooks, those guys, they run the football well. But I still think that Georgia's got the balance of power when it comes to the running back position, which is, again, probably going to take a lot of the pressure off of Fromm because, again, like I said, there wasn't much more he could have done last year. It's going to come down to that defense. It's going to come down to whether or not that Kirby pushes the right buttons, and it's also going to come down to whether or not they can finally get the better of Alabama. What was left on the cutting room floor? And we'll tell you who's coming up next. My guy, Thomas Mott. Willie P here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. What was left on the cutting room floor? I had a segment that was titled Why John Kaminsky's Performance Should Make Vic Beasley Nervous. And then I had my guy Jarvis Davis tell me that Vic Beasley was making Tyson Braylo look like his you-know-what. So that one didn't make it. Then I also had a segment involving this article from the Wall Street Journal that said the Astros are playing chess, everybody else is playing checkers, by the fact that they are not intentionally walking people this season. But I'm still just peeved at the Astros for that whole John Smoltz thing. That probably is going to last for a long time for me. Thomas Mott is up next. Long time no see.
Been a while, Palio. Right? When's the last time you were in here? Last time that you and I were both in here,
I was here Friday.
Yeah, right.
Last time you and I were both in here was probably the last time you and I were in here together.
Which I missed hosting a show. That was fun.
Couple of weeks ago.
That was a good time. I will say this about John Kaminsky, right? Like, he's not going to start anytime soon.
That dude's got a motor.
The fact that he's already producing, because people got on me, because I said this on my show. I was like, guys, there's stuff to learn from the Hall of Fame game, and him being good is one of those things. And everyone's like, oh, it's the Hall of Fame game. No, like, he's going to get on the field this year.
Brian Hill doing well was good. I felt bad for Benkert.
Yeah, I did too. I thought he really pushed Schaub.
Which means they signed Matt Sims, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
I know what Matt Sims looks like. Let me tell you, Matt Sims is not going to push Matt Schaub the way Benkert was. Benkert did a good job, but again, I think that whole exercise on Thursday was a bit overdone in my opinion.
Let me ask you this really quickly: are you concerned at all? I know that Hill had a good game running the football. Are you concerned at all about running back number two in Atlanta behind Devontae Freeman? Because it's got me a little worried because there's really no one standing out, and even the standouts aren't that great.
I would have thought Allison would have played better.
Yeah,
I really did, but the fact that he didn't concerned me a little bit, but again, it's early. Yeah, that's why you have five preseason games. I said as I smiled, because again, I've had more coaches tell me that they get more out of the actual controlled scrimmages and controlled practices against opposition,
yeah,
and the actual training camp practices than they do out of the games, because the games are run against a bunch of vanilla defenses and schemes. That's my time for producer Dylan Matthews, who had a fantastic job last couple times I've been in here. I give way to young Thomas Mott.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.